Good evening, everyone. It is March 16th, 2025. This is the Judicial Call. I'm Representative Mark Biner, and I guess I'll open us up in prayer. Yahweh, our Creator Father, in the name of Yeshua, we give praise and heartfelt thanks for all the blessings that you have provided for us that are both seen and unseen. As we walk through this time of many trials, not only in courtrooms, but also the testing each and every one of us face in daily life, we pray for righteousness to triumph over evil always, and for the law of nature and nature's God to be enforced as this nation turns back to rightful republic values and governance. Be with us in times of intense spiritual warfare to strengthen and direct our lives to come into alignment with your plan of salvation available to all who accept Jesus as our Savior. So give us wisdom and spiritual discernment, Father, that we may continue doing what Jesus instructed us to do, to be watchmen, to spread the gospel, and to stand against the fiery darts of Satan with our gospel armor on until he returns. God save the children, God save the republic, God save America, Canada, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the land of Jerusalem. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen, and thank you, Father.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
So, last week we were talking about the flag, and particularly I was distinguishing that a flag is a standard, and in America the standards are founded on the gospel, really on the principles of the gospel, the principles of reality. I'm going to go there. You know, I don't think that let me come in another direction. When our master, our king, our savior and Lord walked the earth, he was demonstrating to us what's possible. You know, Adam fell. Eve was tempted, ate the fruit. There was a second tree in the garden. They had access. They had it all. They had it all. And then somehow Eve got it in her mind that she wasn't enough, that she didn't have it all. I mean, come on. She walked in the garden with our Father. They were both made in the image and likeness of our Father. So Eve gets tempted. She gets seduced into thinking there was more. She wasn't enough. And so that temptation, which is caused by the desire in her heart to be more, tempted her. We can't be tempted except by our own evil desires. Scripture points that out in the book of James. So she was seduceable. She was temptable because she carried doubt. And doubt is the thing that lingers in our mind. That's where the Leviathan crawls into our thoughts and carries us away, seduces us. And we enter into a narrative, and then we get trapped in a narrative. And we start living life from within a narrative, and then next thing we know, we find ourselves piling narrative upon narrative, and we move into an authentic algorithmic way of being. And it starts at a very young age. Our parents pull it into it. You know, they didn't mean to. They were just doing what they were taught. You know, schools, you know, I could say that the teachers didn't mean to. They were just doing what they were taught. Well, everybody's gone along with this program. For so long, everybody's just going along to get along, doing what they're taught, regurgitating language. And fast forward to 2025, and here we are. We're living in an ocean of narratives that directly link back to that first bite of that fruit that Eve chose. She made a choice. Yeshua comes along, and he destroys the narrative. He confronts the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he calls them out. He flips the tables of the money changers. He addresses the hypocrisy of the so-called leaders who traveled over land and sea to make a convert, and once they made a convert, they made him twice the son of hell as them. He was relentless. He didn't hold back. The people were asleep because they didn't know. Nobody had made this distinction for them. If you think about it, Yeshua comes along and he starts making distinctions for the people, and they're saying, man, nobody's ever talked like this. And he's pointing out the errors and the flaws of the narrative within which Israel was living in the day. The narrative that the gatekeepers, the Sanhedrin, stood guard over, they got to decide what constitutes reality. They got to, dictate what constitutes what you can and can't say. There was no freedom of speech back in that day. You spoke a word outside the Overton window back in that day, they'll stone you. Look at Stephen got stoned. All the apostles were martyred because they dared speak a cross word. They turned the world upside down, saying there was another king, Yeshua. And they troubled the town fathers, who didn't understand. These people were genuinely doing what they thought was the right thing. Here's the scary part. For the most part, everyone operates from a place of needing to be right and wanting to look good. And when we elevate the need to be right and wanting to look good over truth, then we're walking in a delusion, because we're more interested in being right than we are in letting the truth guide us into all righteousness. People hate looking bad, and people hate being wrong. And this is something we all have in common, every one of us. No one's excluded from this rule. It's like part of the human program, you know. We all have a need to be right and need to look good. And it stems from an insecurity in us, like what Eve was enduring when she was tempted in the garden. Not enough. And so we tend to offset our insecurity with not wanting to look bad and or needing to be right, or wanting to look good and not wanting to be wrong, which is, I just said the same thing four times, really. You know, America's broken into so many factions. It's not just red and blue. It's not just denominations. You know, there's 40,000 denominations on this planet. It's not this republic or that republic. You know, everybody's got their elbows out. Keep your elbows to yourself. Let's just find the truth and walk in it. You know, there's a lot of different opinions, perspective, ideas, points of view about what happened between 1776 and 2025. And I know the American Patriot Movement, the Sovereign Citizen Movement, as it's been labeled by the FBI, the terrorists, you know, the liberal coins us as terrorists because of what happened in 2006, but that's not really why they did it. They did it because they're afraid of us. And the scary part of this scenario, I don't know if I finished my thought a minute ago. The scary part of this scenario is they 100% believe they're right. They're operating inside that same need to be right, hate looking bad window. So we're living in a world where no matter what, we're an adversary to somebody. We can't not be an adversary to somebody when we live in a world where everybody's got to be right. Not only am I right, I'm going to go find a whole bunch of people that will agree with me. And look how right I am, because I got all these people that agree with me. And therein lies the crux of the faction that is destroying this country. You know, I'm not so sure that, you know, I'm about to say it. I've read that 1871 statute a number of times. Numbers of times, looking for the same conclusion that so many patriots get out of it. I don't get it out of it. All I see in there is they incorporated the municipality called D.C., where the seat of government is. But from that conversation, you know, there's been so much mud thrown and an argument about how this nation got off track. Was it 1861 when the Congress adjourned sine die and Lincoln, who just out of a need to be right, decided he wanted to hold the Republic together, and so he called the Senate back into session and said, no, you got to give me power, and they didn't want to, and so there was a problem as to who had the power to hold this Republic together. You know, the South was convinced that they were right. The Declaration of Independence said so. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And whenever a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, we have a duty, and we're exercising that duty. And they did. And Lincoln says, you can't do that. And they're going, wow, 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 Lincoln. You know, we're right. And Lincoln says, no, I'm right. And so we had this, like, it was decided at the cost of an entire generation of men who got to be right. You know, the victory, the spoils of war goes to the victor, including the narrative. So right or wrong, here's what is, okay? Here's what is, right or wrong, here's what is. We had a bloody civil war, and the victor got to write history. We might not like it, but that's the way it happened. You know, nations have risen and nations have fallen, and now we've got people demanding reparations for things that happened hundreds of years ago. Stop it! You know, that's the problem with war. You know, they say elections have consequences. Well, folks, wars have consequences too. No, the Civil War had consequences, and the fallout, whether we like it or not, whether it was fraud or not, they determined using a sword and guns, they decided what's right. They decided what American jurisprudence was from that day forward. 14th Amendment, maybe they didn't have a quorum. 14th Amendment, well, you know, the only way you could get Southern states back in there was at the point of a gun, and you had to swear an oath to the new United States. Oh, no, they didn't like that too much. So, you know, we have this idea that, you know, It was fraud, but folks, it was war. And unfortunately, there's this consistent, persistent Leviathan that runs through history that keeps us living inside of a narrative and then creating reality from within the narrative as distinguished from realizing that we're operating inside of a narrative that is just a bunch of opinions and points of view and stories, none of which are true. There's only one truth, and that's reality. And Adam and Eve didn't choose reality, and we're not choosing reality either. If we were choosing reality, you know what? We'd be moving toward revival. But this nation's not interested in reality. This nation's interested in their narrative. Narrative wars. In a galaxy long time ago and far, far away, narrative wars. My narrative's better than yours. And I can prove it because look at all the people that agree with my narrative. So, you know, blah, 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 narrative, narrative, narrative. You know, you can spin and twist, and that's the thing about Leviathan is the Leviathan can spin and twist a narrative to the point where you don't know what side's up. You don't know what's right and wrong. I did some jail time back in 03. Thought I could drive without a license. Couldn't understand why they couldn't accept that Christ is King. And I couldn't make the argument that the church is an autonomous entity and it has every right to issue driver's licenses if it wants to, and the state doesn't have any interest in the autonomy of the church. It wasn't an incorporated church. It wasn't 501c3. It wasn't incorporated. We were an autonomous entity. We were going down that road. So all the documents got issued, and we traveled the highways in freedom. Yeah, right. Not in their narrative. But I had all the words, you know, and I had all the arguments. But I'm sitting in jail, and because I didn't win that case. I was exhausted because I was fighting, my dad used to say, tilting at windmills. I was fighting a narrative that so many people had endorsed because it was written on their hearts and in their minds. That's the mark of the beast, I thought, the narrative you buy into. So all of the agents of the state, you know, they kind of liked me. They thought my argument was unique and never heard of it before, and it was definitely outside the status quo. So I was just reduced to entertainment. I argued in front of a few juries about the kingdom of God and my status as an ambassador and, you know, and all that, and blah, blah, blah. But my point is, I just laid a foundation how I got into jail. They didn't recognize the kingdom of heaven. They didn't recognize me as an ambassador, even though they distinguished me as an ambassador. They distinguished that, well, they mocked me. If you're going to drive on the road, you're going to have to get the license because that's what we choose. So I'm sitting in jail, and I'm, you know, I had so many. I was the guy that used to go out and try on everybody's new idea. I thought of myself as a scout. I would go and somebody would come, hey, here's a new UCC argument. Let's try this one. So I'd try on the UCC argument. Got my straw man out of, you know, captured my straw man. And, you know, I went down that road. Yeah, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, come about 03, I have got. And all of the noises, all of the narratives that were in my head, the guy or the gal who told it to me, they were the ones speaking the narrative to me in my mind while I'm sitting in jail. And I got so frustrated sitting in there, I couldn't distinguish which voice was the Holy Spirit. There was too many voices in my head. I thought, which one of these voices is the Holy Spirit? That's the only voice I want to follow. I don't want to follow a patriot argument that's a dead end. I don't want to live my life chasing dead ends, thinking that, oh, it's just over the next hill. If we just say the words just right, if we just tweak it just right, if I just file the right paper, if I just do it like, ah. And everybody, the reason I was in jail is because everybody told me I was doing it wrong. I wasn't doing it right. Well, you know, when we're living in occupied territory, and this occupied territory is vested in protecting its interests, it will kill Donald Trump. How dare you come along and interrupt our gig here? And they don't care about law. They only care about law when it works for them. They only care about it when it's convenient for them. They don't care about it when it works against them. When it works against them, man, now they're getting violent. Don't look in that. Don't look in that database, Elon Musk and your savant autists. You might find out what we've been doing, and that's no good. We're going to have a revolution and stop you. You know, folks, that's where we're going, and we're going there fast. And if we think getting a procedure right is going to get us out of the substantial problem that we have, I think we're mistaken. You know, we've become a nation that values form more than substance. Oh, you didn't do it right. Well, what's the substance of the thing? You know, what did Yeshua say? The things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things will you do. Peter walks out of a jail. That's freedom. You know, really. What the freedom that the Messiah demonstrated and said, you can do it too. All these things. if you just believe, you can say to a mountain, move. But we just relegate that to the realm of, well, that's, you know, that's just a cool saying. That just means that if you've got big problems in your life, there's nothing you can't overcome. I think he meant we can reshape the matrix, folks. I think he introduced the kingdom of heaven, which is reality outside the narrative, and inside the kingdom of heaven, which is what Adam and Eve lost when they were kicked out of the garden. Messiah was called the second Adam. I think what he did when he laid his life down is he committed suicide by Sanhedrin just to wake us up. Wake up, people. These guys aren't your leaders. These guys are imposters. Well, you know, so the disciples, the apostles, decided to do the same thing Yeshua did, and they went headlong into this thing, and they threw themselves because they decided to tell the truth. Because now they're wide awake. They couldn't go back. They've been de-hypnotized. They've been de-brainwashed. They've been de-mesmerized by the bells and the whistles and the new shiny things that the Pharisees and Sadducees kept pulling out to keep everybody's attention. And my God, this Messiah guy, he's just messing everything up. My God, if we let this guy continue, the Romans are going to come along and take away our nation and our place. Yeah, because they were puppets of Rome. So they didn't have a legitimate government either. Herod wasn't an Israelite. He was an Edomite. Most of the Sanhedrins weren't even the children of Abraham. They were the ones that said, we've never been enslaved to anyone. Oh, yeah, well, who are you? Because Israel was enslaved in Egypt, so you must not be Israelites. So, you know, the enemy loves to crawl in and sneak in and take over from within. The Jesuits are really good with this. So are the Jews. And that's become by deception we make war, the Mossad saying. But, you know, the CIA does it too, and so does the NSA and all of the other intelligentsia. I mean, that's become the standard, the modus operandi in this country. So don't think for a minute that the government doesn't control the opposition like the patriot community, the sovereign citizen community. Don't think for a minute they weren't there on January 6th. You're darn right they were there. So I don't know the actual truth, but I study, and I study because I'm motivated to know the truth. And what's important to me is truth, not being right. And so I think what has happened, and this is just my narrative, okay? Any coincidence that it might be true is just a coincidence. We're living in a world of where everything is shifted. You know, we want to call it a fraud. But what actually happened is, and we said it last week, mission creep. This nation was founded on the principle of a covenant with God, and it's inherent in the standards that underlie this country, beginning with the flag. One nation under God, Declaration of Independence, you know, the unalienable rights, doubt upon us by the Creator, one nation under God, indivisible. Everything points to the core idea. The flag is a mirror, not a grade book. It's about the promise. And we've fallen short. Slavery, division, you name it. But the flag doesn't flinch. The standard is absolute. It's not look how great we are. Truth, covenant, liberty, justice, unity, those don't bend with our failures. Those are still the standards. We've just fallen away from those standards. The flag represents the power of the people in communion with the Father, the sovereign body politic, if you will, of our Father. We're children of the Most High God. Yeshua said, ye are gods and the scripture shall not be broken, cannot be broken. We're still walking around like mere men, just like what Paul said to the Corinthians. We're wallowing around inside the narrative and needing to be right, as opposed to really grabbing hold of the Spirit of truth and letting that Spirit totally in to this temple, this body of mine, this body of ours. We are the body of Christ with liberty, justice, unity. It's not what we've done. It's what we're bound to. Let's tie it up. The U.S. flag mirrors truth as a bedrock. It's a covenant with God as the root, liberty, justice, and unity as the fruit. It's our brand, our standard. So what does that mean for us? When we hear flag, think promise, not perfection. How do we hold the standard now? That's the lesson. In summary, liberty is alive in the kingdom of heaven. The liberty that we seek is within us. And that within us, we are living in the time when that within us needs to come out of us. Justice isn't fake. Unity is not split. Flag is not a war tool. It's a unifier. What happened in that period between the Civil War and the establishment of the Federal Reserve System, you know, that's up to interpretation. It's an interpretation, and an interpretation is a narrative, and you can have several different interpretations, and the really hard, difficult thing to swallow is that the Supreme Court gets the final say. And unfortunately, in this country, the Supreme Court decided that the South was a renegade, and they didn't distinguish them as having the right to secede. So we've got a problem. In that world over there, which is really the one that we live in, there's a consensus of thinking. And inside this consensus of thinking, there's an operational, mechanical narrative Overton window that controls. And because we've stepped outside of that and we're looking at things a little bit different, but we want a different interpretation, and so we're going to set up a republic, or we're going to drive without a license, or we're going to, you know, whatever we choose to do in this attempt to reclaim the birthright of American jurisprudence and the foundation, you know, we have to distinguish, and we have to be aware. You know, I'll say it like this. Sun Tzu said, know yourself. That's the first thing in every war. You need to know yourself. If you don't know yourself, you're going to lose every battle. And the second thing you need to do is know your enemy. If you know yourself and don't know your enemy, you're going to lose every battle. If you know your enemy but don't know yourself, you're going to lose every battle. But if you know yourself and you know your enemy, now you're going to be able to navigate that path to victory. 100% of the time. So rather than fight for the crumbs that fall from the master's table, which are narratives that don't amount to much in the long run, I choose the truth, and I choose to be wrong, and maybe I'm wrong, and there's a lot of things I'm wrong about, but I'm willing to be wrong. And I'm not going to let my pride well up in me so that I don't have to look bad for being wrong. I'm going to go, well, I was wrong. And if I'm right, then I'll go stand where I'm right. But I don't want to be motivated by a need to not be wrong or a need to be right. I want to be motivated by my love for the truth, for the love of what will happen if I walk the narrow road and enter through the small gate. The results will follow because of my choice. So there's stuff that happened this week. Stuff happens. Stuff happens every week. You know, whether it be on the national scale or here in the state of Colorado, you know, there's a Tina Peters episode, and the government of Colorado looks like it may be swirling the drain because of the conspiracy they pulled. Or, you know, inside the battling republics as to who has the right of claim to be the republic. You know, all of these things. You know, we need to work together, not to destroy what we don't agree with, but to reach across and understand where our opponent is coming from, so we can sit down and work our way through to a bottom line that is cogent, it makes sense, and that will ultimately lead us to a place where we can enjoy the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I believe that America is the last bastion of that happening on this planet. If we don't succeed at getting it done, we're going to go into a really dark age. We're going to go into a dark age. So that should be motivation enough for us to stand and pray and seek with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength the truth about the American Republic. Thanks. That's all I have to say tonight. And thank you. And I have an appointment I need to get to. So I'm going to have to go and let you just ponder what I've talked about. So I'm not going to take any questions tonight. I'll see you next week. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, David, I got something to add to what you just said, if that's all right.
Well, please do. Take it from here, Mark. You take us out.
Okay. Well, this is from God's Solution for America. It's on page 229. I just want to read you one paragraph here. Well, two paragraphs, but the first one's only a sentence. This is truly God's solution for America and for the nations of the world. This is a spiritual revolution. Our founding fathers believed that the birth of the American Republic was prophesied in the Holy Scriptures, along with a national purpose and prophetic destiny this nation would have in advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ Jesus and of God the Father throughout the world. They believed from studying the Holy Scriptures that the response of those nations in receiving Christ the Messiah would be to covenant with him as a nation of people and desired to learn his government and laws so that they too could live in his kingdom on earth and enjoy living in his jurisdiction of liberty. Because our forefathers appealed to heaven and trusted God to grant them their petition, they made tremendous sacrifices and endured many dangers and laborious work to birth the American Republic forth in independence, creating a national government, a model government, and they saw those scriptures manifest. And I think that's very true. And hopefully you got some enjoyment out of that. And thank you, David. Appreciate that talk tonight. We need motivation speaking, and we need to lift each other up in prayer, and need to continue on with what we feel is right to do, and continue standing up this republic through thick and thin. And that's all I have to. I yield. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, I guess I'm going to stop the recording.